The Masech is Tamim. So tonight we're going to do a blot and a half, because that first daf is in the middle of Chafei. So just to give you a little background about Masech is Tamim, as you guys know, whichever Masech you bought, it's really part of a continuation I don't have in mind here. But there's Me'ila, Kinim, Tamim, Midos, which continues through the end of Midos. But the truth is, Tamim is really the last Gemara of Seder Kachim. Midos is simply Mishnayos. But for some reason, they put the Mishnayos as part of the Dapim that they were counting. So we're in the middle of Maseches, Me'ila, but it's really Tamid. And Maseches Tamid, although it's the last Masecht of the entire Seder Kachim, it's really the introduction, it's the Hakdama to Seder Kachim, because what do we know about Seder Kachim? Not much, a lot of Pesukim in the Torah. So Maseches Tamid really goes through the Beis HaMikdash and the various structures of the Beis HaMikdash, and it also goes through the Seder Avodah, what took place every single day. So anyone here who wants to really delve into Seder Kachim, certainly the Kohanim, so I always recommend Maseches Tamid is the place to begin, and Maseches Yuma as well is also very easy in to understand the world of Seder Kachim. After that, there are other ones, but those are the first two. Once you work on that, I can help you with the next one. But I think there are a couple of Kohanim here, right? Yuma, Maseches Yuma. That's a long one, though. Okay, so let's begin. So we're beginning now the first mission on Daf Chaf Hei Amud Beis. The Mishnah says, "B'shlosha mekomos haKohanim shomrim beBeis HaMikdash." There are three places where the Kohanim would do Shmir. So Shmir is a mitzvah deraisa. It appears in Parshas Bamidbar and Parshas Korach, the mitzvah of Shmir HaMikdash. There's a big machlokes Rishonim. What's the purpose of Shmir HaMikdash? Pashtus is most Rishonim say Shmir HaMikdash is there to ensure that nobody steals, to prevent people from coming in. No one steals from the Kalim, or to prevent people from Tamei or Zar coming into the Beis HaMikdash. That's the majority opinion. But then there's the Shitas Ramam, who writes in the end of Hilchos Beis HaBechira, I think it's the 10th parak or so, he says the reason why you have the Shomrim is not to protect anything, but because you have a palace, just like a palace that looks very chashuv when there are guards outside, so too as well, the Beis HaMikdash doesn't need to be protected. A Kadosh Baruch Hu protects it. It gives a chashivus by having Shomrim that are there. So the one off community is there a need for Shmir Bayom? When it's active during the day, no one's stealing when it's active. So some say you only need Balayla when no one's there to protect it. But Bayom, when there's no need for Shmir anymore, so the Rambam says you still need a Bayom because it gives the Chashivas during the day. Okay.
We all say it's like a
form of Derech Eretz. What do you mean? It's Torah, to give kavod not to the people, but kavod to the Beis HaMikdash, as opposed to infusing other people with that Ema. Okay, I hear. So the Mishnah says again, "B'shloshim mekomos haKohanim shomim beBeis HaMikdash." There are three locations where the Kohanim would do Shmir in the Beis HaMikdash. So we're going to say a bunch of names, and if you have any charts or pictures, they're very helpful. If not, again, you'll pick up some of the concepts. But right now, it doesn't mean much to us. But the names are Beis Avtinas, Beis HaNitzotz, and Beis HaMukad. These are the three locations where the Kohanim are found. So Beis Avtinas, anyone familiar with the name Avtinas, where it comes up? Avtinas, anyone know? Anyone do Maseches Yuma, the Mishnayos, maybe on Yom Kippur you go through?
Three families,
yeah, that they are Meshabeach them, those, very good, the Mishnah Yuma. So one of them was Avtinas. What was they Meshabeach Avtinas for? What did they do? Exactly, the Ketoros. They had the family, they had the Mesorah of the Ketoros. Exactly. They had the 11 Simanim, they knew they had the special list, and they hid them, didn't let anybody know which the Simanim were. So Beis Avtinas was the house, the place, the Lishcha, the chamber, where they would do and put together the Ketoros. The Kohen Gadol would go there and he'd learn how to do the Chafina. There's no Rashi on Maseches Tamid, but there's a Mefarish. I don't know who the author is. He explains all this as well, that he would practice doing the Chafina there, how to take his two hands and lift the Ketoros up for Yom HaKippurim. That took place in Beis Avtinas. So outside the Beis Avtinas is one of the locations where the Kohen was doing Shmir. Then there's Beis HaNitzotz. So what's Beis HaNitzotz? So Rashi, the Mefarsh, doesn't know what it means. He says, lo yadati. I don't know what the explanation here is. So that's his pshat. There is a rivet here. Now, I don't have it in my Gemara here. On the old Gemara, when I learned this before, you probably have it, right? There's a rivet on the side there, and he ends up, he has a lot to say. So if you go to the back of the Masechta, so then there's like tons of pages of rivet there. I don't have it in this. Maybe I have it in the back of the Sifta somewhere. But the rivet gives another explanation of what Beis HaNitzotz is. I don't remember what it is, though. But according to the Mefarsh on the side of the page, he's not sure what it is either. Okay. Now, the third location is Beis HaMukad. So what's Beis HaMukad? So this is an area where they had the fire going all night, and or even during the day, because the Kohanim wouldn't wear shoes. The Kohanim wear how many begadim does a Kohen wear? four begadim, none of which are shoes. He was barefoot, and there was a marble floor, got very cold, certainly in the winter. So they go there to warm up in this Beis HaMukad. Beis HaMukad, the Eish Tukad, it's a place where the fire was constantly running. So these were the three locations where the Kohanim would be doing Shemir. So now the Mishnah goes through that Bebeis HaPtinas uBebeis HaNitzos, so these two locations, Hayu Alios, they were Alios, they were a second floor. There was a little room underneath them, and they were the above level. Now, HaRovim, so what's Rovim? So Rovim, the Mefarsh explains, these are Kohanim, Shelo Higia Dain Lasos Avodah. I'm reading the Mefarsh right now. They're under the age of 13. They're being trained, but they can't do Avodah yet. They're not yet Bar Mitzvah. So these are called Rovim, and they would be Shomrim Sham. They would do the Shmirah. So now, if you would imagine, if the reason for Shmir would be to protect Ganavim from coming in, so having a 12-year-old kid wouldn't be such a good security guard. So Pashtus is, it's more about Chashivas. So fine, that's what took place. So the Rovim would do the Shmir in these three locations. And then the Mishnah says, Beis HaMukad Kippah. So what does it mean, is a Kippah? So Machlok is what Kippah means exactly. So according to some, it's like more of a dome. How do they say it there in English?
A dome.
They call it a dome. But there's another explanation also, I think they say. But we'll assume it's a dome. And then Beis HaGadol Haya, it was a large room. And Haya Mukaf Rovdin Shoeven. Now, it was surrounded by different different stones that were jutting out of the wall in this large area, in this Beis HaMukad. And all these Avanim that were protruding from the walls, Ziknei Beis Av Yishanam Sham. So we know what's a Beis Av. So the Gemara in Tainus tells us that there are 24 Mishmaros throughout the year. And it was broken up. Each Mishmar would have 2 weeks throughout the year. So the Beis Av, that week, that was called that Beis Av. They were called a Beis Av of their week. So the Zikanim of that Beis Av, of that family, they would sleep on these mattresses, these stone mattresses that would be protruding from the walls. So then the Mishnah says, Umaftechos Hazar Biyadam, and they had the keys in their hand to enter the Azar. We'll see later on in the Masechta, there's a whole way to get in. The doors were locked. They'll put one hand this way, one hand that way. So the keys were in the hands of the Zekanim as they went to sleep. And Pirchei Kuna, so who are the Pirchei Kuna now? So then these are ones who are older. They're above Bar Mitzvah, but not Zekanim. So they're young adults, let's say. So the Pirchei Kuna, they would each Ksiso Be'aretz, each person would take his Begadim, and put them on the ground. And lohayu yishanim big day kodesh, they wouldn't sleep in the big day kodesh. Ella hayu poshin, they would remove the big day kodesh, because we know it's aser to get hana from the big day kuna if they weren't doing the avoda. So once they left the building, when left the base of mikdash, or stopped doing the avoda, it was aser for them to get it. It'd be an iser mila. So they'd remove their big day kuna and manichem osam tachas rasheim, they place it below their heads. Now the Gemara is going to explain it's not mamish below their heads, because that would be iser hana. So Gemara says maybe they can be because it's hard, it might not be so comfortable. So Gemara is going to address how they're allowed to place it under the head, or maybe it means just etzel next to their head. And they were put their regular street clothing on and go to sleep that way. So then the Mishnah says, Irak carry la'achad mihem, if one of them sees a bal carry that night. So then Yotze v'holech lo. So then he would come up and he would go holech lo b'mesiva. Now going to Chavav, he would go in this tunnel. And ha'olechas l'tachas abira. What's the bira? Beis HaMikdash, right. The bira is a reference to the Beis HaMikdash. So he'd go on this tunnel below the Beis HaMikdash. The Neros Dolkin Mikan Mikan, and along this dark tunnel there were candles lit on each side. Achehu Magila Beis Hatfil. Then he'd get to the mikvah. There's a mikvah below the Beis HaMikdash. There are many of them, but there's one that the Baal Keri would go, that would go directly from this Beis HaMukad that he was sleeping in. Umadura Hayas Hashem, and there was a large flame bonfire at the end. Ubeis HaKisa Shokavod. And next to the Beis Tefillah, there is a bathroom. So what was the, why is it called a Beis HaKisei Shel Kavod? Beis HaKisei is not called Kavod. So the Mishnah explains, Zeh Haya Kavod. What's the Kavod of the Beis HaKisei? So the Mishnah explains, Matzo No. If you find that the door is closed, so Yodeh Shei Sham Adam, there's a person there. They didn't have locks. And they did, but I guess they weren't using locks then. If it was closed, so you know, wait your turn. And so if Yesham Adam and Pasuch, if the door is open, so then Biyadua Shein Sham Adam, then there is no one was there. So then Yaradva, so he'd go to the bathroom if he needs to, then Yaradva Taval, he would go to the mikvah, and then Allah come up, Vinistapik. Then his topic, we find what's Vinistapik mean, to dry up. So there's a, the Mishnah in Yuma, which goes through, Mishnah, which goes through the Kohen Gadol, who does how many tefillahs on Yom Kippur? Five tefillas he does Yom Kippur. Five, but he does 10 washing of the hands. So after each dip, he does a nistabik. He dries up. Isn't it Yom Kippur? So you can't dry up on Yom Kippur or Shabbos and Isser of drying up. The answer is no. Of course, you'll have to dry up. The halacha is that people think you can't go to you can't take a bath or shower, can't go swimming because you're drying up with the towel. There's no problem with drying up the skin with the towel. The isser is if water is stuck in the hair, it's an isser of taking water out of the hair. There's no isser of drying up if there's a mess on the floor if it doesn't get so soaked. You'll have to dry up. There's another din as well. There's a story. I forget who it was. One of the rebbes was one who was younger. He once went to the mikvah and he came out and he started drying himself up. Another chassid says, you're not supposed to dry up. You have to keep all the waters of tefillah and let the mikvah come into your body. Don't dry it up. It's kadosh waters. So he says, I'll explain to you outside the mikvah. So he, after they left the mikvah, he says to the chassid, I have a masorah from Aaron HaKohen that you're allowed to dry up. What's the masorah? The Mishnah says in Yuma that nistabig, after you go to the mikvah, you dry up. There's no din of keeping the waters on your body and put the clothing on top of that. So there's a din of, there's no problem of nistabik. Now the reason why the Kohen Gadol would have to dry up all the water is because otherwise it might be a chatzitza. If the water is left there, the lach is that the begadim have to be on the basar, on the flesh. If there's water in between, so that could be a chatzitza between the begadim and the basar. That's why it's to dry it up. So based on that, the Mishnah Melech has a whole discussion. What about water in the hair when you're wearing tefillin? Forget the water ruining the tefillin. Is the water in the hair going to serve as a chatzitza between the tefillin and the head? So that's a discussion based on this Mishnah that the Mishnah Melech has. Fine. So anyways, so this coin who would become Tameh would go to the mikvah, he'd come up dry, and nischamem kineged hamadur. Then he'd go outside and he'd warm himself up next to that large fire that was in this tunnel. Then ba v'yashav lo etel achiv ha-kohanim. Then he'd go and sit next to the other kohanim that were there. Ad shehayu sharim niftachim yotzei v'holich lo. Until the gates would open, and then he would join the rest of the kohanim to go out for the first avodah. So what's the first avodah? So the Mishnah explains, Misha who wrote to Litro Mesamizbech, Mashkim Vitovel, Ashlo Yova Hamamona. So the first avodah of the day was Trumas Hadeshin. That night, what happened was all the different limbs, Ketam Vehvarm, were burning all night long in the Mizbech. So it turned into ashes. So it's the first mitzvah of the day, the first avodah of the day, is the Kohen would go up and do a little Trumas Hadeshin. So we'll see in greater detail later on how that Trumas Hadeshin was done, how he lifted up. But that was the first avodah of the day. So this also comes up in Maseches Yuma. So this halacha, when it comes to Yom HaKippurim, there's a lot of overlap between Tamid and Yuma. So when it comes to Yom HaKippurim, there's a halacha that the Kohen Gadol has to do every single avoda. Kol avoda Yom HaKippurim, eino kasher eler bo, the Gemara says. He has to do it. So that's the question is, so the big machlokas we show in the first Baal Maor and Milchamos on Maseches Yuma, says, which avodas does the Kohen Gadol have to do in Yom Kippur? So one opinion says, only those avodas that are unique to Yom Kippur, that he wears the big day lavan for. But anything that's like a big day zav, like the carbon tamid, which is every single day, any Kohen could do that. And the other Rishonim say, no, every single avoda has to be done by the Kohen Gadol. Even the weekday type of avodas, even the carbon tamid, which is brought every day, is not unique to Yom Kippur, even that the Kohen Gadol has to do. So then they have another machlokas, what about Trumas Hadeshen? Is that considered an avoda? It's prior to the avoda. Nothing really starts until the tamid comes. It's before everything gets started. Does he have to also do that avoda? So that's a machlokas between the Ramban and the Baal Hamor. So the Mishnah says now, so again, Mishnah who wrote to the person wants to do Trumas Hadeshen, so he mashkim, he wakes up early, the Tova, he goes to the mikveh. Everybody has to, before you enter into the base of Migdash, even if a person's tahor, you always have to go to the mikveh again. So Mishnah says this. The Mishnah says this in Maseches Yuma. So you go to the mikvah and v'tovel ad shelo yavah mamona. Before the mamona comes, who's the mamona? Mamona was a guy, a kohen, who would come pick out who would get to do the avoda. So before he comes, everyone who wants to participate in the Trumas Hadeshen, they should go to the mikvah first and be prepared who's going to be chosen. So the Mishnah says lo kol ha'itol shavos. It wasn't always the exact same time that the mamona would come. Pamim shubab bikarso gever. Sometimes you'd come when you'd hear the rooster. O samechlo milfanav o me'achrov. Sometimes a little before, sometimes a little bit after. He's always keeping you guessing. So sometime early in the morning, be prepared if you want to do the Trumas Hadeshen. So then the Mishnah says, Mamuna ba v'dafak alein. He'd come and start knocking on the door, a wake-up call. Vein paschalo, they would open the door, let him in. And Amar Lahen, so he would say, Misha Tavol, whoever went to the mikvah, Yavol, Viafis, Hafiso, Misha Zachavet, Zachabo. Everyone come, went to the mikvah, Yafis, we're going to draw lots. They'll explain later on how they did the lottery. And whoever wins, whoever Zocha, he's Zocha for the Chumash Hadeshim. So the way the, I don't remember if the Gemara Tamid here speaks about this, but the Mishnah Yuma certainly speaks about how they stand around in a circle, and they put their fingers out, and they count, and they, whoever gets chosen, whoever the number lands on, he is the one who gets to do the Chumash Hadeshim. He did knock on the door, and they open up, let the Mamona come in. Fine. So the Gemara says, now, how do you know? How do you know what? So how do you know? Look at Rashi, the Mefarish here. The Mefarish explains that, by the way, in Maseches Tamid, along with all other, most other Mesechtas and Seder Kachim, there's a lot of Girsos issues. It wasn't learned as much as the other Siddarim. So in, you'll see a lot of Shita Mekubetis is on the side here, or Hagos Vitzinom changing the Girsos, or Hagos Bach, it just wasn't learned as much, so there's a lot of mistakes. So we're going to find that a lot here. So anyways, this first question of the Gemara is, how do you know that you need three shomrim, that you need three kohanim doing shmir? So the Gemara says, Amar Abaye, Abaye explains, Amar Kra, the Pasuk says, he quotes a Pasuk that appears in Bamidbar, V'achonim lifnei ha-mishkan, those who are encamping in front of the Mishkan, Kedma, to the east, lifnei al moed, in front of the Mishkan, again, another word for the Mishkan, Mizracha in the east, again, repetitive, Moshe v'arun uvanav, shomrim mishmeres ha-mikdash, Lemishmeres b'nei Yisrael. That's the whole pasuk. So Moshe, Aaron, and his two remaining sons would do shmirah of the Beis Hamikdash. So we find here, so Amri in Shimur ba'alma Ashkechan. So granted, we have a concept of shmirah that's mentioned here in the pasuk in Parshas Bamidbar, but Dibai. Now the next three words are skipped. The Girsa takes this out. Dibai miha masnisin katani b'shol shemakomos. How do you know that you need three places though? All the Mishnah says is you need Shmira. But there's no indication in the Pasuk that you need three different Makomos, like the Mishnah says, that the Kohanim Shomer Beis HaMikdash, Shlosh Makomos HaKohanim Shomer Beis HaMikdash, that there are three places where the Kohanim do Shmira, and the Levim and Be'esim Ve'echad Makom, and there are 21 other places where the Levim would do the Shmira. V'ilukra, but with regard to the Pasuk, Kohanim Levim B'hadei HaDadiksiv, it lumps them together. Moshe was a Levi, Aaron and Nevanim were the Kohanim. It says they all together do a Shmirah. You don't see any distinction between three places for the Kohanim and 21 places for Levim. Now 21 plus 3, of course, is number 24. We're going to see later on in Maseches Tamid that number 24 is a very important number. Now the Gemara doesn't tell us why that is, but when it comes to the Beis HaMikdash in the world of Kachim, the number 24 is very big. It says 24 places of Shmirah. It says that 24... What else do you have? What? Mishmaros. 24 Mishmaros. What else do you have? 24, Manas Kuna. It says later on in the Maseches Tamid somewhere, the 24 places where Levim, rather where Kohanim are referred to as Levim. So there are 24 is a big number in Seder Kachim, in the Beis HaMikdash. I don't know what the depth is of that. Yeah, that's what they said, yeah. 24 Manas Kuna, there are 24 of those. So it's a big number in the world of Kachim. So anyways, the Gemara wants to know, how do you see from this Pasuk, though, that there are three locations where the Kohanim were to do Shemira? So the answer is the Gemara. Amri hachi kamar. This is the way you read the Pasuk. V'achonim lefnei ha-mishkan kedma lefnei ol moed mizracha Moshe kama. So Moshe's in one place. Then that he represents the Levim. The Hadar afterwards, which is our focus, Aaron Nevan of Aaron, plus his two sons, two remaining sons. So that's three. Shomei mishmeres ha-mikdash. Aaron bechad makom, uvanav v'shnei makomos. That's how we read the pasuk. Aaron's in one place, and his two sons are also in two different places. That gives us that there are three locations where the Kohanim would be doing shmir.
Are you saying that the two brothers are together?
No, he said the two brothers are each separate. Just like Aaron is by himself, so too the two brothers. You see, let's finish the end of the Gemara. I think it'll become a little clearer.
What's Moshe then?
Right now we're not concerned with Moshe. We're saying Moshe, the Levim, are somewhere separate. And whatever number is, it's a different count, a different source. But Aaron and of the Kohanim are in a different place than where Moshe was. But let's get to the two dots and we'll see, maybe it will come a little clearer. So the Gemara says, Mimai, how do you know this? Midichsiv, from the fact that the Pasuk says, V'achonim, uksiv shomrim, so chonim l'chud, v'shomrim l'chud. It says there are two people we're talking about here. They're the chonim, they're those who are in camping, which are referring to Levim and Moshe. That's all Moshe, that's the first half of the Pasuk. And then it introduces Aaron and Avinu were the Shomrim. They're in a separate place from the Levim. So we see Chorim Lachud, that's the Levim, and Shomrim Lachud, those are the Kohanim. So then Gemara asks your question, Ema Kula B'chad Makum Lachudei. So maybe all the Levim are one place. Rather, all the Kohanim are one place. Maybe it sounds like Aaron and Avinu are Shomrim. They're all in one place doing Shemira. How do you know they're three different places? So Gemara says, Lo Sakadaitach, you wouldn't think that. Because Ma Moshe Bechad Makom L'chudei, just like Moshe stands as a Levi in one location, so too Af Aaron Uvanov Bechad Makom L'chudei. So too Aaron and each of his sons are in three different locations. So that's the drasha. Oh, that's all according to Shita Sabaya.
Why necessarily Aaron and two sons? Aaron had four sons.
Yeah, but two of them died.
Died.
That's Parsha Bamidbar. Yes, it's after it. So then the Gemara says, Rav Ashi Amar, Misefa Dekra, the end of the Pasuk is very clear. How do you know three locations? Because the Pasuk says, Shomrim, Mishmeres, Limishmeres. It says the word Shmira three different times, indicating that there are three different locations for the Shmira. Okay, let's go to Amud Beis now. So Gemara quotes from the Mishnah on the top of Chavav Amud Beis, Beis Havtinas U Beis HaNitzatz. So these two locations, he Bailu, the Gemara wants to know, Alios mamish havu, odima dehavu gavayu migavei kalios. Were these mamish second floors? Was there room underneath the base haftinas and underneath the base anitzitz? Or maybe they're just very high ceilings and they looked like they were tall, but it really was one level. So the Gemara says, Tashma will bring you a raya from the Mishnah Maseches Midos. The Tznan hashib betzafon shahar nitzitz on the north. It's good to I'm going to create an image for you if you could follow this. Imagine an image right now, okay? So let's see. That's going to be east, west, north, south. Okay, so that's where everyone got there. So this way. So you come into the Beis HaMikdash from the east. This way. Wide.
North, south.
Yeah, so.
Northeast, west.
Yeah, this east, no?
Yeah.
North, east, north, west, south. Okay, we got it now. So you walk in the Beis HaMikdash from the east, from behind me, towards the Kodesh Kodesh was in the west. And that's north and that's south. So you walk into the Beis HaMikdash, and the big mizbeach with the ramp was in the center when you come into the Azara. And then you get inside to the Heichal. Right in the center was a very small mizbeach HaKetoris, which they put the Ketoris on every single day. And towards the south would be the menorah. And towards the north, the right side, would be the Shulchan. And then further in is the Paroches, and the Kodesh Kodashim, the Aron, is inside. So now we say north, we're talking about this area. So towards the north, the Shar, the gate that was in the north, was called the Shar HaNitzitz. Kimin Achsadja Haya. What's Achsadja? How do they define this in English here? It's like an open area. It's like a platform?
Portico?
Like a gazebo porch, something outside that doesn't have walls. It's like an outdoor room, outdoor-indoor type of room. So they say that it's a Kimin Achsadja. This gate, the Shar HaNitzitz, was Kimin Achsadja Haya. Valia Bunuya Agaba. And there was a second floor, an aliyah, second floor built on top of this achsadra, shakohanim shomim milamala, and the kohanim would be watching on top, looking down below. Valavim milamata, and below them were the levim, upasachaya lo lechol, and the entrance was to the chol. So I have a couple of different machlokas, what the picture looked like here. So I have one picture that there were poles. This achsadra was below a fence. On top there was like a little fence here, like a little patio on top. But the chsadja is below that, which had just two poles, but there were no walls. Another picture has there were walls on this side, but the front was an open area. And another one was, even the front was a little bit closed, but there was no door, just like a doorway. That's the chsadja on the bottom, but the place where the Kohen would watch would be on the top, on that second floor, on this little porch that was on the top. Okay. So we prove from here, though, that when we say that they were aliyos, they were mamish, they were literally a second floor. They were up on the second floor. That's where the Shmira was taking place in the Beis Haftinas and the Beis Hanitzos. So then the Gemara says, Mnanimili, how do you know? How do you know what? What's the Shaili here? How do you know that the same place where the Kohanim were on top, Levim were below? The Kohanim were in three places. Levim were in 21 places. But three, there's a Machlokas if I remember correctly. So, of the 21 places, the Levim, three of them were right below the Kohanim. The three places that we mentioned in the Mishnah, so the Kohanim were on the top, and the Levim were below. So those are three of those locations. How do you know where the Kohanim were, the Levim were right below them? In three of them, at least. And then there were another 18 places where Levim were standing by themselves doing Shmir. So what's the source? So the Gemara says, I told you before that Parshas Korach is one of the other places where the Pesukim speak about Shmira. So the Pasuk in Parshas Korach says, V'yilvu alecha v'yishar sucha b'avodasecha. So V'yilvu alecha v'yishar sucha. And referring to the Kohanim, they're going to milave you, to escort you, and they'll serve to you. So referring to Levim are going to be serving the Kohanim. B'avodasecha. In the same avodah, in your avodah, it's talking to Aaron, to your avodah as the Kohen, wherever you're doing Shmira, the Levim will be right below you. That's the drasha, in your avodah. So the Gemara says, what?
Is the Shmira considered an avodah?
Well, it's being referred to as an avodah, not in the sense we normally refer to it as an avodah. It's,
in that, the job of the Levim.
Yeah, but it's not the sense of avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. It's still a job of theirs. It's an avodah, but it's not. Yeah. It's not, you're not chai misa for someone who is a czar who does it, wouldn't get chai misa like the other avodas. But it's a job of theirs. So Gemara says, it means b'avodasecha, and you're serving wherever the Kohen would be to Shmira, the Levi would be right below. Hakas medaber. That's the pasuk referring to. So then the Gemara says, what do you mean? Ata omer b'avodasecha. So you think it's referring to your avoda, wherever the Kohen's doing Shmira, that's where the Levi's doing Shmira, hakas medaber. Oh, you know, Ella, Bavodasam, maybe it means in there, meaning the Levim are going to do their own spaces, their own places, not where the Kohanim are doing, Bavodasam, in their Avodah, separate from where the Kohanim are. And they're not going to be in the same location as the Kohanim. So Gemara says, no. Keshu Omer, when it says the Pasuk, this is Parsha Korach as well, when it says, Vilnilvu Alecha, Visham Lechol Kela, Vilchol Avodaso, when the Pasuk says that they, that the Levim, will watch all the Kalim and do their Avodah, Hare Bavodasam Amur. That's referring to their avoda, those mukomos where they be doing shmira separately. So Amur. So ha mani mekayim v'yivu alecha v'shar sucha. So what I do with this part of the pasuk? That's extra. We already told them they're doing shmira. So this is coming to tell me, in addition to the shmira that the Levim do in the other 18 places, they're also doing shmira bavodosecha in the same place where you are doing avoda, the same place where the Kohanim are doing shmira. Hakasa medaber. How does it work? Kohanim shomim milamala ulevim milamata. The Kohanim are doing shmira on top, and the Levim are doing the shmira below. Okay. Gemara now says, Beis HaMukad Kippa, Beis HaGadahaya. So the Gemara asks, so seems to say that Chad Shomer Hudahava Beis HaMukad. In this Beis HaMukad, which is a big, large house, a Beis HaGadol, Beis Gadol, so it sounds like there's one Shomer. Okay. So what's the Chiddush there? So Gemara says, Urminu, it seems to be problematic because the Mishnah Maseches Midos tells us that Shnei Sharim Hayu Bebeis HaMukad. There were two gates to the Beis HaMukad. You would need two Shomrim, not one. Why? How did it work out? Echad Pasuach L'Chel, Echad Pasuach L'Azara. So there's a whole, in Maseches Midos, and Gemara Yuma talks about the different Kedushas there, Eser Kedushos in the Har Bayis. So Chel is one of them. Outside the Beis HaMikdash, there is Chel. There's a little, I think it's 10 amos long or so, until it gets to a Srug, which is a fence. There's a fence that was also on the Har Bayis. So between the Srug and the Beis HaMikdash, there's an area called the Chel. So the one shar of this Beis HaMukad, this big house, was entering, or exiting really, into the Chel, outside the Beis HaMikdash. That's one gate. And Echad Basuach Lazar, and one gate went into the Azar, into the Beis HaMikdash. So there must be some nice pictures to look at here. I don't have any of them here. Oh, here we go. So if anyone could see this, it's not so big. I don't have the bigger one, but this is the Beis HaMukad here, and this is the Golden Gate here, over here. This Golden Gate is the entrance into the Azara, and this one would be the exit out to the Chel. Is it the right one? No? Wrong picture?
Okay, well, this is and the picture they show over here is that the...
Yeah, it's the right one, yeah.
...factor outside of Kachri Kodoshim is where the Kohanim was standing. I mean, the Levium was standing. But from the inside of Kachri Kodoshim, there was only one.
Right, well, so that's going to be, I think, part of the answer. But right now, this area called the Beis HaMukad is, again, the Golden Gate is going into the Beis HaMikdash, and these stairs down are going to the Chel. So there are two different gates here. So there should be two different Shomrim, says the Gemara, not one. So the Gemara says, continuing in the describing the Mishnah, so Amar Rav Yehuda Bezeh Shenichnasin Lazara Pishpesh Katan Hayalo Shabo Nichnasin Levlosh Hazara. So in that Golden Gate, I pointed out, there's a little pishpesh, a little small door. There's a large door, but there's a small door, like a little like doggy door, I guess. The Kohen would go in underneath. He would go in there first, and he'd do a whole search. The word livlosh means to search and inspect the Beis HaMikdash. He'd go around, make sure everything's okay and in place, and then he'd come and open the door for everyone else to come in. So that was the description of this Beis HaMikdash. But either way, there's a gate on the going to the Beis HaMikdash and another gate leaving to the Chael, so you need two shomim. It's not enough to have one. So Amar Abaye says, Kaven de Gavi Hadadeh Havukaimi. Since they're right next to each other, it's one room, so Sagi Lehu Bechad Shomer, it's enough to have one Shomer. He can watch both doors. It's not hard to watch both doors. It's one room with two doors. Davi Lehacha Vedavi Lehacha. He'll see over here, he'll see over here, and one Shomer is sufficient to protect the entrance into the Beis HaMikdash. Okay. Now, in this Beis HaMikdash, just to point out to you, in the picture, it shows you here how half of it was kadosh, half of it was chol. It was split in half. And these little markers, you know, kind of like when you go through the Midtown Tunnel, there's little like red things in the middle. That's how you always imagine this Beis HaMikdash, that these little markers in the middle as to distinguish between the chol and the kodesh. What?
Uman on the street.
Oh, okay. Or Uman also, okay. Never been. Midtown Tunnel comes to mind to me. Whenever I go to the Midtown Tunnel, I think of my Tamidim. My Tamidim, he went on his first date. He went to the city to pick up his wife. So when he was very nervous, so when he's driving his wife, he was banging against the poles. Every time I go through, I think of him. Okay. So a good thing he's hitting the poles as opposed to the wall. That would have been much worse. Fine. Fine. So the Gemara says now, Mukach roved in Shalevin. So now the area of the, this goes back on the Beis HaMikdash, had different stones on the wall. If you see in the picture, and whoever has a picture, they see like little stairs against the wall here. So the Gemara explains, Rovdin Maini, what exactly is Rovdin? Gezarta ditstavda, disalkubo lastavta. So what does that mean? So I think there's a Mefarish here. So if you look at the Mefarish, take a look in the bottom left of the Mefarish, halfway down, the wide lines. It says, Rovdin mai nihu gizrata das tavta desalke balas tavta. Sholin al yadam le mitos shein bechoma kein mitos. They're kind of like beds, stones of beds on the wall. Vekasalke daitach de laacher shenivnu bechoma chelku et avanim vasu kimin et tavta. So you made like benches and stairs going up. It reminds me of exactly, walk up, and there are each bed. So the first guy goes up, he sleeps on the top bed, and the next guy on the bed below, the stair below, and so on and so forth. Reminds me of that apartment, you know what I'm talking about. Okay. So you have these stairs going up. So the Gemara says, wait a second, how do you have these stones chiseled out in the Beis HaMikdash? How could you chisel out stones when they're in the Beis HaMikdash? The Pasuk says, this Pasuk's found in Malachim, it says, V'abayis b'ivnaso, Evan Shlema, you have to build it with full rocks. You couldn't do any chiseling in the Beis HaMikdash. You had to chisel it outside. So the Gemara right now assumes that they brought a big stone inside and they started chiseling it to make the stairs. That's what the Gemara assumes.
They bring this pasuk in Malachim. It's a pasuk in the Torah that says you're not allowed to. Huh?
You can't. Yes, it does say that. That's talking about the Mizbech in particular. So maybe from that pasuk alone, you'd only think the Mizbech, maybe not the other parts. It's a good question. Very good question. I'll just look quickly if anyone asks this question. It says, what's the Gazis? And the Parsha's Shoftim, I think. That's going to be the answer. But the Gemara initially thinks they had a big stone and they chiseled it while in the base of Mikdash. How could you do that? You have to bring in full stones. So the Gemara answers, again, I'll look up afterwards if I see your question, but it's a very good question. The Gemara says, no, Amar Abaye, Abaye says, the Misakne Umaisni Mikara Avni Zutarta. They fixed for Misakne, the Misakne, they fixed Umaisi Mekar. From the beginning, they brought already prepared Avanim, Zutrasa, small ones, Vavni Ravasa, and large stones. That's what they did. They didn't do any chiseling in the base of Mikdash. Kidichsiv, as the Pasuk tells us in Malachim, says Avne Eser Amos, Vavne Shimon Amos. They brought some rocks that were 8 Amos long, others that were 10 Amos. So the 10 Amos were on the bottom, then the 8 Amos on top of that, then the 6 Amos, then the 4 Amos, whatever, however high it went. And that's what they did. Okay. So then the Gemara says, Zikne Beis Av Yishenim Sham, the elders of that family of Kohanim would sleep on these stones. Vamai Leil Mitos. Why do they have to sleep on stone? Why not bring in comfortable mattresses? So says the Gemara, Amar Abaye, Lav Arch Ara, Layule Mitos Le Beis HaMikdash. It's inappropriate to bring mattresses into the Beis HaMikdash. So for that reason, they slept on stone for that week. Okay, so let's stop here. I already did a blah and a half. And Mitzvah Hashem, we'll pick up tomorrow. Shkoyach. 7 days away, guys. Marv, yeah.